All right, it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast, it is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it is 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is December 15, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio Studio One, we are going to listen to some highlights from the debates from last night, the Republican debate in Vegas. And then we're going to talk about some other news that involving the world around us. It's not a pretty picture out there, but we still have a hope and our prayers with the world. So let's start with the highlights from the debate. Thank you.
Thank you. Since you last debated, Americans have witnessed terror attacks in Paris and San Bernardino. The FBI director says the country now faces the greatest terror threat since 9/11. You all have different approaches to keeping the country safe, and that will be the focus of tonight's debate. Mr. Trump,
yes.
As you mentioned in your opening statement, part of your strategy is America's border. To keep the country safe, you say you want to temporarily ban non-American Muslims from coming to the United States, ban refugees fleeing ISIS from coming here, deport 11 million people, and wall off America's southern border. Is the best way to make America great again to isolate it from much of the rest of the world?
We are not talking about isolation. We're talking about security. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about security. Our country is out of control. People are pouring across the southern border. I will build a wall. It'll be a great wall. People will not come in unless they come in legally. Drugs will not pour through that wall. As far as other people, like in the migration, where they're going, tens of thousands of people having cell phones with ISIS flags on them, I don't think so, Wolf. They're not coming to this country. And if I'm president, and if Obama has brought some to this country, they are leaving. They're going. They're gone.
Governor Bush, you called Mr. Trump unhinged when he proposed banning non-American Muslims from the United States. Why is that unhinged?
Well, first of all, we need to destroy ISIS in the caliphate. That should be our objective. The refugee issue will be solved if we destroy ISIS there, which means we need to have a no-fly zone, safe zones there for refugees, and to build a military force. We need to embed our forces, our troops, inside the Iraqi military. We need to arm directly the Kurds. And all of that has to be done in concert with the Arab nations. And if we're going to ban all Muslims, how are we going to get them to be part of a coalition to destroy ISIS? The Kurds are the greatest fighting force and our strongest allies. They're Muslim. Look, this is not a serious proposal. In fact, it will push the Muslim world, the Arab world, away from us at a time when we need to re-engage with them to be able to create a strategy to destroy ISIS. So Donald, you know, is great at the one-liners, but he's a chaos candidate, and he'd be a chaos president. He would not be the commander-in-chief we need.
Jeb doesn't really believe I'm very simply because it's a total disaster. Nobody cares. And frankly, I'm the most solid person up here. I built a tremendous company. And all I want to do is make America great again. I don't want our country to be taken away from us. And that's what's happening. The policies that we've suffered under other presidents have been a disaster for our country. We want to make America great again. And Jeb, in all fairness, he doesn't believe that.
Look, he mentioned me. I can talk to him. This is the problem. Banning all Muslims will make it harder for us to do exactly what we need to do, which is to destroy ISIS. We need a strategy. We need to get the lawyers off the back of the war fighters. Right now, under President Obama, we've created this standard that is so high that it's impossible to be successful in fighting ISIS. We need to engage with the Arab world to make this happen. It is not a serious proposal to say that to the people that you're asking to for their support, that they can't even come to the proposal. That guy.
So you have said banning Muslims is unconstitutional. But according to a recent ABC News Washington Post poll, a majority of Republicans support Mr. Trump's idea. Why are they wrong?
Well, I understand why they feel that way. The president hasn't kept in San Bernardino since 9/11. And then all the talk was about this proposal, which isn't going to happen. But this is what's important to do. We must deal with frontally with this threat of radical Islamists, especially from ISIS. This is the most sophisticated terror group that has ever threatened the world or the United States of America. They are actively recruiting Americans. The attacker in San Bernardino was an American citizen, born and raised in this country. He was a health inspector, had a newborn child, and left all that behind to kill 14 people. We also understand in Syria. They are beginning to pop up in Afghanistan. They are increasingly involved now in attacks in Yemen. They have Jordan in their sights. This group needs to be confronted with serious proposals. And this is a very significant threat we face. And the president has left us unsafe. He spoke the other night to the American people to reassure us. I wish he hadn't spoken at all. He made things worse. Because what he basically said was, we are going to keep doing what we're doing now. And what we are doing now is not working.
Hugh Hewitt, you have a question.
Senator Cruz, you've said you disagree with Mr. Trump's policy. I don't want a cage match. You've tweeted you don't want a cage match. But Republican primary voters deserve to know, with the kind of specificity and responsiveness you delivered in your 9 Supreme Court arguments, how you disagree with Mr. Trump. Will you spell that out with us?
Well, listen, Hugh, everyone understands why Donald has suggested what he has. We're looking at a president who's engaged in this doublespeak, where he doesn't call radical Islamic terrorism by its name. Indeed, he gives a speech after the San Bernardino attack where his approach is to try to go after the constitutional rights of law-abiding citizens rather than to keep us safe. And even worse, President Obama and Hillary are proposing bringing tens of thousands of Syrian refugees to this country when the head of the FBI has told Congress they cannot vet those refugees. I understand why Donald made that proposal. I introduced legislation in the Senate that I believe is more narrowly focused at the actual threat, which is radical Islamic terrorism. And what my is suspend financial terrorism.
So you're saying you disagree because he's too broad and you're having narrow.
All right. There were so many interruptions that I have to fade in and come back to you guys, even though the discussion is really interesting. Let's listen to another one. We'll give it a try and see what that face statement they have to say. All right?
Because you said this, you said he, referring to Senator Cruz, voted against the Defense Authorization Act every year that it came up, and I assume that if he voted against it, he would veto it as president. That's the bill that funds
that
our troops.
That is accurate. 3 times he voted against the Defense Authorization Act, which is a bill that funds the troops. It also, by the way, funds the Iron Dome and other important programs, and I have to assume that if you vote against it in the Senate, you would also veto it as president. He has also supported, by the way, a budget that is called the containment budget. And it is a budget that would radically reduce the amount of money we spend on our military. You can't carpet bomb ISIS if you don't have planes and bombs to attack them with. And if we continue those cuts that we're doing now, not to mention additional cuts, we are going to be left with the oldest and the smallest Air Force this country has ever had. And that leaves us less safe.
Senator Cruz.
Well, you know, Marco has continued these attacks, and he knows they're not true. Yes, it is true that I voted against the National Defense Authorization Act because when I campaigned in Texas, I told voters in Texas that I would oppose the federal government having the authority to detain U.S. citizens permanently with no due process. I have repeatedly supported an effort to take that out of that bill, and I honored that campaign commitment. But more broadly, you know, the notion Marco is suggesting that somehow he also has tossed more than a few insults this direction, let's be absolutely clear. ISIS and radical Islamic terrorism will face no more determined foe than I will be. We will utterly destroy them by targeting the bad guys. And one of the problems with Marco's foreign policy is he is far too often supported Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama undermining governments in the Middle East that have helped radical Islamic terrorists. We need to focus on killing the bad guys, not getting stuck in Middle Eastern civil wars that don't keep America safe.
Senator Rubio.
Yeah, let me, 3 points of distinction. The first is, if you're an American citizen and you decide to join up with ISIS, we're not going to read you your Miranda rights. You're going to be treated as an enemy combatant, a member of an army attacking this country. Number two, we do need our defense capabilities. It is a fact that the cuts we are facing today and the cuts that Senator Cruz would have supported would leave us with an even smaller Air Force and a smaller Navy than the one we are going to be left with. And the final point that I would make is Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama's strategy is to lead from behind. It sounds like what he's outlining is not to lead at all. We cannot continue to outsource foreign policy. We must lead. We are the most powerful nation in the world. We need to begin to act like it again.
We're going to have much more on this. We're going to have much more on this, but I want to move now back to Mr. Trump.
This legislation.
Hold on.
We have a lot. Deserves a little more attention.
We have a lot to discuss. I want to move to Mr. Trump right now. We have a question on this war against ISIS and how you would fight and win this war. Here's the question from Facebook. Listen to this.
I'm Josh Jacob from Georgia Tech. Recently, Donald Trump mentioned that we must kill the families of ISIS members. However, this violates the principle of distinction between civilians and combatants in international law. So my question is, how would intentionally killing innocent civilians set us apart from ISIS?
Mr. Trump.
We have to be much tougher. We have to be much stronger than we've been. We have people that know what's going on. You take a look at just the attack in California the other day. There were numerous people, including the mother, that knew what was going on. They saw a pipe bomb sitting all over the floor. They saw ammunition all over the place. They knew exactly what was going on. When you had the World Trade Center go, people were put into planes that were friends, family, girlfriends, and they were put into planes and they were sent back for the most part to Saudi Arabia. They knew what was going on. They went home and they wanted to watch their boyfriends on television. I would be very, very firm with families. And frankly, that will make people think, because they may not care much about their lives, but they do care, believe it or not, about their families' lives.
Donald, this is not,
Governor Bush.
This is another example of the lack of seriousness. Look, this is troubling because we're at war. They've declared war on us, and we need to have a serious strategy to destroy ISIS. But the idea that that is a solution to this is just crazy. It makes no sense to suggest this. Look, 2 months ago, Donald Trump said that ISIS was not our fight. Just 2 months ago. He said that Hillary Clinton would be a great negotiator with Iran. And he gets his foreign policy experience from the shows.
That is
not a serious kind of candidate. We need someone that thinks this through, that can lead our country to safety and security.
Mr. Trump.
Look, the problem is we need toughness. Honestly, I think Jeb is a very nice person. He's a very nice person, but we need tough people. We need toughness. We need intelligence, and we need tough. Jeb said when they come across the southern border, they come as an act of love.
You said in September 30th that ISIS was not a factor.
Am I talking or are you talking, Jeb?
I'm talking right now. I'm talking.
You can go back. You're not talking. You interrupted me, Jeb.
September 30th,
you said. Are you going to apologize, Jeb? No. Am I allowed to finish?
Yes, one at a time.
Excuse me. Am I allowed to finish?
Go ahead, Mr. Trump.
So,
little of your
again,
own medicine
I,
there.
I know you're trying Governor to build Bush, up your energy, Jeb, but it's not
one,
working
one
very
at a time.
Well.
Yeah.
Look. We need a toughness. We need strength. We're not respected as a nation anymore. We don't have that level of respect that we need. And if we don't get it back fast, we're just going to go weaker, weaker, and just disintegrate. We can't allow that to happen. We need strength. We don't have it. When Jeb comes out and he talks about the border, and I saw it, and I was witness to it, and so was everyone else, and I was standing there, they come across as an act of love. He's saying the same thing right now with radical Islam. And we can't have that in our country. It just won't work. We need strength.
Governor Bush.
Donald, you're not going to be able to insult your way to the presidency. That's not going to happen. And I do have the strength. Leadership is not about attacking people and disparaging people. Leadership is about creating a serious strategy to deal with the threat of our time. And I laid out that strategy before the attacks in Paris and before the attacks in San Bernardino, and it is the way of the way forward. We need to increase our military spending. We need to deal with a no-fly zone in Syria, a safe zone. We need to focus on building a military that is second to none so that we can destroy Islamic terrorism.
With Jeb's attitude, we will never be great again. That I can tell you. We will never be great again.
All right. Hugh Hewitt at Dennebash. Hugh, go ahead with the next question.
Oh, and we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with the Impossible Truth. We just heard some comments from the debate of last night, a GOP debate in Las Vegas, and a standoff between Jeb Bush and Donald Trump was completely outraging, because the truth of the matter is Donald Trump is you know, he's a candidate that uses forced language, and he's using it. And the fact it's, it cannot overcome about the shortness of experience in the defense, you know, defense industry or any kind of defense instrument that he can show for, especially when we're standing up to fight ISIS or international terrorism, or any threat to the USA and to any American around. I think that is running short of weapon to weapon with quotation mark about subject to role. So we throw up all to the stage, like you know, stop talking to this or don't do that. We'll wipe him. We'll kill them. So, okay, but I don't think that the Republican Party does buy it. I don't think that in the all the nationwide American activists or people that understand something about politics, they know that it doesn't work. It doesn't stay. The fact that he's running a very good polling makes me wonder what kind of polls they're making, because it seems that every time there is a poll that shows something else, you say, we'll come back on that and we'll make it better. You see, I have no problem with people, you know, with America's, you know, freedom to run and to get elected for office. And I don't have a problem with anybody of the candidate, obviously. The truth of the matter is we want to choose somebody who's be the leader of the free world. You're not choosing just American leader. You're choosing a man that will stand up to the rest of the world. And some comments last night about, you know, jabbing Russian, you know, in the face and stuff like this, it's not really proper. And it's not what we're looking in the world for a national, you know, international leader. So I would say that Donald Trump lost a lot of respect in regard to all those, you know, gesture that he was making, even though he has a good heart, you know, he's a fighter, he's a dealer, he can make everything goes right. Maybe, you know, business is good, people don't fight. That's true, too. So, and everybody has his own luck. You never know. You really never know. So we don't throw anybody out of the range. Everything is possible. But I think that Jeb was really steady. He did a good job. It's low in the poll, which make me wonder, really. But on the base of, you know, national polls, I don't know if he's going to make it either. So, bless their heart. They're trying hard. I think we have another comment from Donald Trump that we want to listen to. Let's listen to it.
He is the U.S. Republican presidential frontrunner. Donald Trump has a huge lead in national polls, still dominates the headlines, and attracts bigger and bigger crowds, this one in Las Vegas.
So I heard today when they announced the poll, 41-14, and I like Cruz, good guy. But I heard, here's how they announced, Cruz surging. So when I heard, this was on television, Cruz surging, so I said, oh, I don't know, that sounds bad to me. Coming up, Cruz surging. Then they say the Monmouth poll was just done, Cruz is surging. Trump 41, Cruz 14. I said, wait a minute, what's going on?
Donald Trump has changed the political playbook in the U.S. He called voters in Iowa dumb, and his numbers in Iowa went up. He criticized Hispanics, and his numbers went up. And he called for a complete and total ban of Muslims coming into the U.S. He was widely criticized, and his numbers still went up. For his supporters, he is the only man who can, in the words of his campaign, make America great again.
I'm just one of the biggest supporters of Donald Trump. I mean, early on, I didn't really think that he had a chance at all. You know, I didn't really take him seriously as a politician. But the more that he talked, the more that I realized that he was connected with what the base of the Republican Party and ultimately the American people want.
I'm not going to say he's always told everything the truth, but I'm pretty sure he's pretty much trying to tell the truth and say what he can say about things, and I think he's held back even.
Several times during his speech, he was interrupted by protesters on gun control, immigration, and his stance on Muslims. And that is part of Donald Trump's problem. He excites Republicans, but those who don't like him really don't like him.
It was all just hate mongering and just trying to get people excited. Look at the crowd.
So why did you come?
Why did I come? To troll. I'm a troll.
Trump spoke for more than an hour, covered many topics, drawing cheers and yells of support.
Because he speaks from the heart. He's not a politician. This country doesn't need another politician. We need a leader, and he's a true leader.
I love it. I love everything about Trump. I'm a Latina. I support him 100%. 100%. Everything he said is just wonderful.
His campaign was expected to flame out in weeks. He's still there, still fighting, and still the man to beat. Alan Fisher, Al Jazeera, Las Vegas.
Wow, that was Al Jazeera, guys. Just make you think that the news is interesting to everybody. It doesn't matter what part of it. And it was a positive news, even from Al Jazeera. So, you know, there is hope after all. Now, let's keep on going. You know, we had the debate. We know that the debate is vast. The majority of people don't really know how to handle everything. But we do have something to talk about, the coalition that the Saudis are making. So let's listen to some music. Remember, it's Wednesday, and it's Italian or Spanish or Latino music or European. No, it's Italian. It's supposed to be Italian music today. We'll listen to this, and we'll come and talk about the Saudis after that. All right?
Per volare sempre più distante, no, è una baracca sul fiume, per pulirmi in pace le mie piume.
That was the lovely Fior d'Aliso, d'Aliso. She sang, non voglio mica la luna, I don't want the moon, you know, it means whatever it is, it's not that big, we can ask for something little, the moon is out there. Anyway, it's a great song from 1986. I love it, and I'm sure you do too. Anyway, we want to talk about the Islamic military alliances that the Saudis collected. The Saudi Arabia announced a new Muslim anti-terrorism coalition. Now, when somebody of any sort come together and bring alliances to fight something for the cause, the good cause of humanity, that's an excellent, excellent proposition, because it means that they're waking up and they're fighting back. Now, the idea is to fight for the right cause, because many people in the Western civilization don't really understand the difference between all the fraction of religious belief in the Islamic faith, and they don't understand the extremists. And anybody who tells that, you know, the extremists, you know, are all of the Muslim, you know, is wrong, that's for sure, because there are many, no, it's not there. Those are exceptional people that make extreme thing, and they want to kill themselves they want it to be spectacular. That's my you know, judgment on this, because you wouldn't explain why they want to make so much pain in the format. They say if they dead, Everybody has to suffer for this. Well, I can understand the frustration in the message, but of course, we need to give them help, but they cannot do whatever they want to do, and we need to stop them, because whatever they do, they violate humanity, they violate our codes of conduct, they violate our agreement with, you know, with heaven, with God. So this alliance of 34 nations are a good step in the right direction. But the question is this the right direction they're going to? And I really want to respectively say that any country that come together and bring forces and, you know, they put their body too in the fight for humanity, that's a worthy cause. But, you know, from our perspective, let's say it's not Western, from a Jewish perspective, we don't know whose side is really agreeable. So we have to say, you know, those theories are bad, but are any Islamic alliances, they accept the Jewish people? Do they accept the God, you know, the belief in God of Israel? Because whoever, I promise you, whoever accepts each, you know, the other will be respectful and understood. So I would call, you know, this Islamic military alliance of 34 nations. Yes, great, way to go. Let's make sure that we all come together. We need the unification of forces. I think that the Islamic military alliance needs to conduct some exercise or understanding with the Western forces, because you cannot have many parties together. Because you see, the 34 nations are Pakistan, Egypt, Qatar, the United Emirates. It's not a coalition, remember. It's alliances. And in all this, you got also Turkey, which make you ask the question, are Turks are against the Kurds? Are they going to use this to fight the Kurds? So we don't know, but let's listen to this segment that I chose for you. All right?
It was a rare news conference from the Saudi defense minister. The announcement was the creation of a new military alliance of mainly Islamic nations.
There shall be an operations room in Riyadh for the coordination and support of efforts to fight terrorism in many parts of the Islamic world. This announcement comes from the Islamic world's vigilance, so it can be a partner as a group of countries in fighting this disease.
The so-called disease is widespread. The alliance will confront ISIL's growing influence in Iraq and Syria. It also aims to combat the rise of armed groups from Mali and Nigeria to Libya, Pakistan and Afghanistan, among others. 34 nations are part of this coalition. It includes established military heavyweights such as Pakistan and Egypt, as well as economic ones, Qatar and the UAE notably. Iran is absent from the list. It is Saudi Arabia's main regional rival. Iraq and Syria, both at the heart of the ISIL conflict, are also not part of this. So how strong is the alliance?
You got Turkey, I think, is also significant. They're a very, very significant military power. They're a member of NATO. And so, yes, I do think it sends a very, very crucial signal that the Muslim world, particularly the Sunni Muslim world, now is united against this Sunni-led group, ISIL.
The Saudi government is leading a separate military campaign in Yemen. It's been engaged in 9 months of warfare against Houthi rebels. The United States has indicated that firepower might be better served if channeled towards defeating ISIL. This latest coalition could very well be the first step. Gerald Tan, Al Jazeera.
Well, Al Jazeera been busy here. I'm telling you, if this gonna be a success story, we all gonna, you know, earn from it. It will be awesome for everybody that we have. But you just have to remember, at the end of the day, we need to win. the terror. We need to come to agreement. We have to create economical coordination between all, and we need to progress to rehabilitation of the climate, which we all do together. Perspective are awesome. I think that we are, as world needs to give it a chance. We know that ego plays a big role in all, political revolution or not. But I suggest that we take the time right now to fight them back, to eliminate the threat, and start coordinated coexisting between all. And, you know, if you bring it back to the fact that the Jewish state needs to exist because that's the will of God, we got 2,000 or 3,000 years memory and history to say that the Jewish people are here to stay. We need to solve the question what the Palestinians actually are doing, and the fact that everybody are pushing to have a settlement evacuated, which is bogus, because if you accept others, you don't tell them to run away from home. Or you run them off like they do. I think that the Palestinians are acting like terrorists, and if they don't stop doing so, nobody can consider Israel as any. You know, they use word like conquerors or stuff like you would think from a movie. I don't know where they come up with all this adjective stating what Israel is doing to the Palestinians that are rebels. Because the Israelis, as usual, they want to go to work. And I know that there are many Arabs, Israelis that work together, and they have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity if they just put their heart and mind. And the Arab Israelis are in the university. The women are developing. They could actually be the front for the Middle East as far as women concerned, and they should take that chance. You know, every time you say, no, we're going to break the old place just because it doesn't have it exactly your way, it doesn't make sense. You need to create a situation that you evolve, that you see the future, that you see a moment of growth. You see the conduct is changing in your benefit. But anytime you use terror, you know, to stop, to kill, to shoot, to bomb, that's where you get off the road, and you are eligible to have all kind of treatment that you by choosing an act of war, declare war, and as enemy of the peace and the people, the country has the right to defend itself and protect its citizens. So please don't tell me that I didn't tell you. All right, let's listen to some more music, and we'll be after that.
Sono un italiano. Buongiorno Italia, gli spaghetti al dente. E un partigiano come presidente, con l'autoradio sempre nella mano destra, un canarino sopra la finestra. Buongiorno Italia con i tuoi artisti, con troppa America sui manifesti, con le canzoni, con amore, con il cuore, con più donne sempre me.
What a classic. Toto Cutugno with Sono Italiano, Italiano Vero. I'm Italian, a real Italian. That was an old one, but a goodie, oldie but goodie. Now let's listen to this. A Swedish businessman takes a swing at Alibaba and eBay and launches 39 languages online marketplace. Now listen to this. I've been telling you that for a long time ago, and I've been repeating it, and I'm hoping to God to have the chance to talk about it in some kind of conference that is coming up. You know, there is the TED conference that's coming up, so I'm praying that they give it to me. Now, this is the deal. They're talking about 39 languages online marketplace. What does it mean? It means that they are going to use different languages in order for you to have a marketplace. But what is a marketplace? Everybody is trying to color, to mask, to put a face to the fact that you need to have a marketplace. But this marketplace needs to be organized. Now, people usually have the tendency to collect data, to get informed, and to process it, and work with whatever available mechanism they have. But something needs to be done about it. Because people that study information, people that actually collect information, know how to retrieve it and to recall it, or suggest way of doing, have the capacity to organize it to you in a way that you can actually access it simply but truly. Okay, I'm not going to tell more than that because I've been working, thinking about it since 2004, since my Senate race. I'm calling upon it, and I hope that sometime soon in the future, we all have the chance to actually work in one marketplace. Because remember, we are going to that level of collaboration and participation that is global. Because what happened with our networks and the website, they froze us from doing actual business. Because a business online is really hard to do. You just push emails or you go and you search and you do things. But it's not, and most of the time you actually go and waste your time and you wander, for not to say to the wrong places. But let's say that. So this Swedish businessman, remember, guys, you Swedish talk to us, Israeli. So us Israeli, Jewish, whatever you call us, I'm Willa and I'm American Israeli, we have something to teach you. So 39 languages, piece of cake. We have here 120 languages. I'm sure we can beat that one. All right, so I'm looking, soon. We're hoping that it will come up and reveal itself very soon. Anyway, so let's keep on going. That was the news that I wanted to, select for you for a minute. But there are so many other stuff. Oh, by the way, they send us also the contact information of that site, I guess, but we're not going to call you guys because we're going to beat you now one way or another. All right, let's keep on going. We have a lot of conferences coming up, remember, this year and also in Washington, D.C. But there is one thing I want you to all pray together with me, because it doesn't matter what they say, but when they say something, you want to be concerned or, you want to digest it. I don't like anything to be said that is bad in the world because I know how the world has its karma. So we want to always wish peace and love. Competition is good. Sport is great. We love great competition. But now we're talking about the fact that there is some kind of, doomsday story about America. So I want to pray for America's sake today, and I want to tell America what a great nation you are, what people you have. You carry the world on your shoulders since the Second World War. I give it to you. I don't want you guys to give all the money for Third World right now, because I want you to establish yourself again as the leader of the free world, no matter what. And the fact that people think in destruction really concerned me. And trust me, I've been searching the web to what's going on in this year that is so meticulous, is so important for us to be vigilant of. So I'm not going to quote, but I'm going to tell you that there is a movement that is growing up, and you need to be aware of that. You need to hold on to your country, hold on, be aware, and don't worry. With God's help, we'll overcome it, because in God we trust, on your heart and on your commitment every day. And that's where God always will stand with you. So we pray together, and I know it's holiday season, so I really, really want you to have a best holiday season. And just maybe somebody will wake those goons and turn the light on their soul so they awake to see that they probably are drugged from something or they've been taking something wrong. Because whatever did happen in the last few months, I don't know how long it's been since it started, years in Syria, it wasn't right. But I guess that we didn't do nothing in Syria, so something had to wake us up. And I hope that those children will have this new world in their life. They do need that. So let's listen to some more music, and we'll be right back after that.
Su di noi ci avresti scommesso, tu su di noi mi vendi un sorriso, tu sei. Lo vuoi cantare, sognare, sperare così.
All right, we are back because we are running out of time, and I wanted to say a few words before I leave you until next week. It's not easy to fight this war, but we're gonna have, you know, the humanitarian relief, the Germany and the United Emirates is helping. We're going to stop the flow of immigrants by Turkey and Netherlands. And we're going to have the cutting of financial aid between Italy, Saudi Arabia, and USA. They're going to help us and support the military help of U.S. and in Iraq. And the United Kingdom is going to be soon over, guys. We need to get it over with. And the Russian are a major player too. So we must, you know, remember that the U.S.-led coalition against Islamic State is also a coalition for the future of humanity, where we all come together. Our distance, our differences are going to settle. We need to end up this year with the will and the hope and the prayer that we are going to make it through that this year in a better shape. Just remember, this year is ending up, you know, with a war, but all the people are connecting next year, God willing, we're going to end up this, and we're going to connect as humanity in the flow of economy, democracy, and human rights, and helping those people and women and children everywhere, God willing. And it's not going to be easy, but it's a promise that we have to give to the world and to us and to the children that come after us, that we are going to take care of business. And of course, business is really hard these days, but because we need that center in the internet. And you can talk 1,000 languages. If you don't organize it correctly, you cannot do that right. All right? And I know that there are so many conferences that you guys have to keep an eye on. And I know that there is ASNR 2016 that you need to put on your calendar. It's going to be May 21st to 22nd. It's the foundation of ASNR Symposium, the emergency of neuroradiology. It's important, guys, because we all connect with radiology, with, you know, we are internet, so radiation is all over. So whatever we have to share as far as information, and this is taking place in Washington, so you better keep that date, May 21st and 22nd, or I think May 21st to the 26th. And it's going to be in the Washington Marriott and Park Hotel. I remember that hotel. It's a good hotel to be. comfortable, but you need to book it early because they don't have, you know, many rooms there as far as I. But all around, you know, Washington has tons of rooms. You know, they can have guests all over. All right, guys. So let's end up this program with a blessing, with great music, and with the love that we all share for this universe and for God that created us all. And He is the God, and He is the only one. All right? So you remember, there is a God, and it's not us. This is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth, kissing you goodnight from Jerusalem or from Holy Land. And I hope that you have a wonderful day wherever you are, all across the globe. God bless you all. Ciao, ciao.